Right now, it is time to bring in Jim Lynch and Cover Your Assets. Jim, of course, joins us every week at this time. He is an independent voice on Wall Street, the economy, sports, politics, the Olympics, synchronized swimming, and more. Here he is, Jim Lynch. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning. Good morning. I just got out of the pool.
That's right.
Boy, it's a little chilly here.
I bet you even know who the June Taylor dancers are.
I used to dance with them. Jackie Gleason and I.
I used to love the above shots of the June Taylor dancers. Synchronized swimming without the water.
Come on, they were good.
They were. I used to love it. Hey.
Marshall played a Nat King Cole song this morning.
Oh, that's right.
That was good.
How about a little Vic Damone?
Vic passed away. Damone. And now there's just Tony Bennett left, right? Really, from that era?
Vic Damone. Okay, gang, here we are. Here we are again, hopefully bringing you some cheer and good news and good information.
Well, good information I'll go for.
Let's start with the good information.
I said good information I'll go for. Yep.
Yes, the sun is shining, and you're breathing. And you're very healthy, and your mind is getting more and more creative as each minute passes by.
Stay off the internet.
The internet? Who said internet?
No.
Anyhow, Facebook. Facebook. Let's talk a little Facebook. It's really hit the fan in terms of the company and finally admitting over the last months or weeks that they've had a pretty big problem in terms of being an enabler of false information. Zuckerberg, the head guy, is doing his best, I presume, to try and solve it. But he doesn't do himself any favors, in my opinion, in somehow getting as close as he can to the Russians. That said, they've got a morale problem there. They've got a lot of people, the younger people particularly, leaving Facebook. It's a monumental problem, and I don't know if anybody in the company or outside the company has the answer to it. You can get the news today on a thing called Wired, WIRED, on the internet, which will fill you in on the personal back and forth of the employees who've become quite upset and nasty over what's been going on. But it's a situation, and I know many of us are involved in these various platforms, Facebook being one of them. You just have to learn how to be careful and censor and not become overly dependent on news or opinions. It's just another case of being aware on your own behalf of what's going on in the world. And what's been going on has been a lot of Russian interest trying to bring us down much more into chaos and less down as an overall country. And they've been sowing the seeds of divisiveness and have been aided and abetted by the current president in that process. By the way, you know, the president of the United States is supposed to defend the country, particularly from foreign powers that might do them ill. I really think you all should focus on the fact that the president of the United States continues to say that he does not believe that the Russians have meddled in our election, nor are they doing anything towards our country. This contradicts, I think, everybody in his administration, be it Tillerson, Secretary of State, Pompeo at CIA, who should know something about the process, and many, many other people in the administration and out who are making us aware that the Russians are already fooling around with the elections coming up. But, you know, folks, we've got to hold the president responsible. He cannot continue to lie to us about national security. And national security is just not firing guns at each other. It's got to do with information, as we've just started the show with. namely Facebook, which was a dream come true for a lot of folks in terms of connecting and communicating. And now it's becoming another tool that is being used against us. Along the lines of what Marshall was saying earlier, I believe the president is running quite scared over what's happening, his mismanagement of his own staff in the White House, as well as more and more things being uncovered, be it about Russia or other negative things about him and his people. You have to pay attention here. We need, if you don't really have not focused on it yet, you need to understand that the president is throwing a lot of stuff on the wall to distract us from his own personal problems. The budget he's proposed for 2019 is absolutely insane. Insane in many perspectives. That one, Congress has already done some things, not to the fairly well he'd like, but Congress is out of hand dismissing his proposals. But it's, you should be aware that he's willing to sacrifice, if he can, for publicity's sake or for specific purpose, the livelihoods and financial stability and safety of the average citizen. The word Medicaid should ring a bell. That's been proposed as part of a slashing in the 2019 budget. That's not going to happen, I don't think. But the point is that the man who said he would not touch it when he was running for president basically is putting it out there. You have to pay attention to what he says. I know we always say, oh, pay attention to what he does, not what he says. Pay attention to what he says, because it's very demoralizing. We've had numbers of reports now from various surveys that the country is really, be you making a little money or a lot of money, very upset. And they're very upset by this constant negativity and this constant pushback on the plain old citizens in this country. The mere fact that we want to cut back more on the environment when we're being we're not being told, but the facts are, water is rising at an increasing dangerous rate in the oceans and in the Antarctic and Arctic, and we're cutting back on the scientific research to follow that and figure it out and help ourselves. In terms of infrastructure, it's proposed by the president, $200 billion, even though $20 billion is in the current budget, and then he wants the rest to come from states and local governments. Totally stupid. The tax cut for individuals has hurt states and local governments because individuals are not going to be able to write off a lot of their state and local taxes, which means they're going to do things to avoid creating income to pay those taxes. The states, many of them, are in deficit already. And to throw into a plan that, oh, the states and local government will pick up 60 to 70% of the infrastructure is absolutely insane. The White House is in chaos. They're under the gun. Maybe crimes have been committed in not vetting this fellow Porter properly. My question is, Hope, the girlfriend of everybody. I don't know if she's been vetted. She's reading all kind of classified things. Blackmail could be very rife in various circles, courtesy of the White House not paying attention to the people who are reading classified documents. That does not help us, does not help our safety and our security.
But, Jim, you know, when we talk, and I want to point this out, when you talk about the budget, and you just, being here in Connecticut, which is a state that can't afford its own infrastructure because of the way it's been mismanaged over the past 8 to 10 years, when you look at the budget and you see that so much is being proposed for infrastructure and so much for the Department of Defense, the thing that is really scary, and it's the thing that really led to, really, I think, part of the Democratic downfall is is when you look at budget deficits. Well, the thing that's really scary now when you look at the budget of the United States and you look at the Congress and the House and everything is that for some reason everybody is okay with a $2 trillion deficit. And I mean, both parties appear to be okay with this, Jim. And you and I both know that you cannot operate on a $2 trillion a year deficit because you are mortgaging the future of not only your children, but your children's children.
Also, you are setting up for poor times economically, be it a recession or worse. When you go into deficit, you have to pay more and more attention to not even spending more money. So in a difficult time, you can't spend the necessary money to bail people out who are out of work, need more health benefits, need, as you said earlier in the show, more food stamps, etc.
It's what's scary though is that there doesn't seem to be anybody in the government with the backbone to stand up and say, you know what, we have to make hard decisions.
Well, here's the thing, and I'm not
picking on one party here.
But
I'm
what I'm saying is, and this is where I really believe that the people of the press could do a much better job. There's very little information about what is going, you know, unless it is eyeball worthy. You know, what could be more tedious than filming me and Marshall talking about how we're going to raise the money for our new signal? I mean, really, you're not going to be able to sell good ads for that. What I'm trying to say is that I believe that there are actually people out there trying to deal with this stuff, but you'd never know it because
there's not enough people paid in the press anymore to do the reporting that needs to be done.
Agree.
I mean, you used to be able to turn to the Washington Post, the New York Times, I don't care who it is, the Daily News.
But now they're the same six stories.
There are not enough people to sit down and investigate these things and write stories, and there's not enough people to read them.
That's the problem. It's not interesting. It's far more interesting, for lack of a better word, or engaging. Let's say it's far more engaging to get involved in the latest dispute or let's just call it a dispute or spirited debate about stuff that happened, quite some time ago.
Let's go back to what Marshall said, the word backbone. We send people to Washington. We vote for them. We give them more than adequate salaries and health benefits, prestige that once they leave the Congress or the Senate, they can go forward with a very profitable life. Those people are charged to lead the fight, be it an infrastructure, the economy, or whatever. They are charged with debating, being creative, but basically standing up for what is right for most of the people in this country. That, unfortunately, does not happen as it once did, shall we say, 30 years ago. And part of that problem is there's just too much money that gets to Washington courtesy of our liberalizing the way corporations and wealthy individuals can give money to influence elections. The politicians run scared that if they don't somehow toe the line, don't make too many aggressive moves, that they'll be okay, and the donors will not come after them. This is not going to get better unless we solve the problem of how politicians' campaigns are financed, because they're always going to be beholden to the carrot of the donors giving them extra money. But that aside, continuing, if we can flatten that, if we can somehow stop this growth and the ability of donors to give people running for office or not running for office money, then we've got to get down to the hard fact of, again, backbone, individuals in the Congress and the Senate saying, what is the right thing to do?
Well, you know, Jim, I'm a liberal guy. I'm not as liberal as I used to be, and I'm for a lot of great liberal causes. What we're missing is the fact that liberals, progressives, conservatives, middle of the road people can no longer look at the budget and say, you know what, we're each going to take a hit to bring this budget under control for, let's say, the next 5 to 6 years. None of these sides are willing to take a hit. The military is not willing to take a hit in their budget. Everybody's got to be willing to take an equal hit to bring things under control.
And that whole concept, you're absolutely right. And one of the things is, like, everybody's rushing for the buffet table because they want the, it's like, well, I want this and this and this, and forget about the guy behind me in line.
You know, as a company, a nonprofit that receives approximately 35% of our operating cost, I'll take a reduction in what we get in grants from the government. But other people have to take a reduction too. And no one seems to be willing to do this.
Well, that whole
the
sense
population,
of community,
the politicians, the administration, yeah. Nobody seems to be willing to sit down and say, you know what, we all have to give a little.
And that's probably what will ultimately give us a multi-party system. But it's going to be, you know, it's still some time away. And it all goes back to the same thing, which is money. When you think about how much it costs to, you know, let's just say that you had an impulse to be helpful and run for office. Let's just say. You can't.
Yeah.
Let's go back to something that Marshall surfaced. The media is not covering. Let's just leave it alone as infrastructure. There are a lot of things that are important to the country they're not focusing on. But let's just talk infrastructure. Infrastructure influences everybody's lives. These roads in the towns, the utilities, the old buildings that need to be demolished, very plain kinds of things. Years ago, the newspapers somehow managed, I'm talking newspapers now, and obviously years ago, they felt a responsibility on local levels particularly, but even on national levels, to have some kind of discussion, commentary. They'd have a series of articles over a period of months detailing what was or was not going on, we'll say, in infrastructure and what's happening in it. They do have the resources, the media, if they wish to get into the committees and see what people are saying and see what people are doing.
Yep.
Unfortunately, human beings take the easy road. And with the media, there's so much sensationalism here in the last years on the national scene and on the international scene that they're hard-pressed to have a plan, and all that's necessary is a plan, a strategy, to have, we'll say, the infrastructure covered thoroughly on a weekly basis or a daily basis. You don't have to rewrite the Bible in the process, but to inform citizens so that they know that Congressman X in their district is holding back on voting on something or is working against something for some private interest. As we know, the New York Times, the Washington Post, many media outlets have done very well in the last couple of years, courtesy of the scandal-plagued Washington scene. But that's not good enough. They've got to somehow put more money into the basics, because we're giving away our country by allowing the roads and the bridges, etc., to basically decline to where they're non-existent or they're not usable.
All right, we're over time here. We got to wrap it up in about 30 seconds.
Okay. Well, the key thing here is Valentine's Day is a commercial holiday. Let's make it more than that. Let's kiss your spouse twice instead of once, hug the kids a little bit more, and have a great smile for your friends and colleagues as you go through your day.
Jim, we'll speak to you next week.
Thank you.
You got it. God bless you all. See you. Bye.
Jim Lynch and Cover Your Assets here on Robinhood Radio.